Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hello, welcome in. Lee Kelly is with me. This is an early edition of the Hoosier Report here on this Thursday. We are getting ready for Indiana to begin its Big Ten Conference tournament action. It's play today. How many days can they make it in Chicago? We'll find out if they can advance out of this second day of the tournament. Indiana getting a second round bye into this Big Ten big dance, you could call it, thanks to some good play late in the regular season. And at 12:30 today, a tip-off with Ohio State. The Hoosiers, an opportunity if they can beat Ohio State to take on Michigan State Friday for the third time this season. I mentioned that Lee Kelly is with me. A little different setup today on the show, the guest lineup. But right away, here in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex is coming to us live from Chicago for the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And then later in the program, we're going to get the Ohio State side of things. Steve Hellwagon of the 247 Ohio State site. He's been with us before a year or so ago. He does a great job covering Ohio State. He's going to give us the very latest with this Ohio State team and kind of get you ready for that matchup today for the Hoosiers. Lee, tournament basketball is here every time. It doesn't matter if it's the afternoon, late at night, whatever the case is. There are multiple games on. Really fun to watch some of the mid-major conference teams have success and win their tournaments and punch their ticket to the big dance. But this year, a little different feeling for IU fans watching some of those mid-major tournaments because you are rooting for the favorite, whoever the high seed is, really the number one seed in those mid-major conference tournament. That is who you got to pull for because anyone else other than that were to win, if that number one seed gets an at-large bid, that's one less bid for a bubble team like Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. I found myself last night rooting against Oklahoma because that was one of the bubble teams mentioned with Ohio State and Indiana. And I found myself rooting against Lon Kruger, a coach that I really like. So it makes you do silly things when you think you're helping out Indiana.
Absolutely. We're going to go to Alex Bozich here in just a moment. Later in the program, Steve Hellwagon of the Ohio State 247 site with us. And then don't forget, Lee's going to finish things up later in this hour because I'm headed out to Hoopsters. We're going to be live from Hoopsters from 11 to 11:30 today. The reason we have to sign off at 11:30 today and the reason we came on early today is because the IU Network pregame show, which includes an interview with Archie Miller and, of course, Don Fisher with some pregame words, that begins at 11:30, and then, of course, tip-off is at 12:30 today. And then once that's said and done, we've got Jared Morris with the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And then don't forget, also, Lee and I are back tonight in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to be at Sardano's Pizza Parlor talking to the Silver Creek basketball team. The entire roster will be there along with Coach Hoffman, and we will preview and talk about their accomplishments so far and, of course, preview the Seymour Semi-State, which should be a lot of fun on Saturday. Silver Creek takes on Christmas Addicts. Lee, I know you'll be part of that call on Saturday afternoon.
Certainly looking forward to it. The Dragons have never won a semi-state. Hoping this is the year they break that trend.
Absolutely. Let's go right to it with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, live from Chicago, joining us on this first day of Big Ten play for the Hoosiers. And, Alex, I know that a lot of excitement in Chicago, a lot of fans gathered there last night, and, of course, getting ready for the game this afternoon. What do you make of these early games for Indiana? I looked at the bracket as things began to fall into place over the weekend, and I thought, gosh, potential for back-to-back 12:30 games, but then I remembered that IU just played Rutgers in a 12 o'clock tip on Sunday, and played really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, these start times are all made for TV. I don't know that anyone actually enjoys playing at 11:30 local time, but to split the sessions up, to sell more tickets, to have as much TV exposure, this is kind of how it all shook out. So looking forward to getting over there. One thing I did a little research on yesterday for the Big Ten tournament, that I think this is the first time that IU's ever been the 9 seed in this event, and it's also, I looked at the winning percentage for each seed line in the Big Ten tournament, and actually 9 seeds have the worst winning percentage of any seed line in the Big Ten tournament, so hopefully Indiana is able to reverse that trend today.
When you look at the games that have been played so far, is there anything that jumps out at you, Alex, that might be a benefit to Indiana when Selection Sunday rolls around, or is it just way too early to even take a look at that yet?
Well, obviously there's been a few things that have happened that have not been great. Gonzaga losing to St. Mary's, I think, took one bubble team off, off of the eventual bracket. The other thing I'm looking for the next couple days, three conference tournaments in particular, the MAC tournament where Buffalo is obviously the favorite, and they're an at-large team regardless if they win the tournament or not. So if there's an upset there, that's going to take a bubble spot away. The Pac-12 tournament with Washington, they're another team that is probably going to make it regardless of what happens, but the Pac-12 being so down, if another team wins, that's going to take another bit away. And then the A-10 tournament with BCU is the heavy favorite. They're an at-large team regardless of what they do. So those are really the three remaining conference tournaments where IU fans, I think, should keep their attention to. And obviously today's game, I don't know that for certain that today's game is an elimination game for Indiana or Ohio State, but whoever loses, I would think, would have to feel really pessimistic about their chances of being selected into the tournament. This championship week always brings some surprises in terms of upsets, and I don't think there's any guarantee that even in the Big Ten tournament there couldn't be a Cinderella-type team that makes a run like a Penn State or an Illinois. So today, IU controls its destiny. If it can keep winning, it's going to make the tournament, but it's got to start with a win today over Ohio State.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us. This is an early edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll be with you live until 11:30 today. That's when we'll send it to IU Network coverage of the upcoming IU-Ohio State game from Chicago in the Big Ten tournament. You wrote about this on InsideTheHall.com in preview of the game. When these teams met last time, back earlier in 2019, IU didn't even score more than 53 points in the game. It was maybe one of IU's ugliest games of the season. Ohio State a winner in that contest, I think 56-53 the final score.
Yeah, it was definitely a game where IU struggled to score. And to me, the most intriguing part about today's game is what adjustments, if any, is Ohio State going to make defensively? Are they going to do the same thing they did last time with Justin Smith, was basically not guard him? Thinking from Ohio State perspective, I would probably do the same thing again if I was them. Justin Smith's obviously been playing well lately, but if you're going to make a choice to get beat by Romeo Langford, Tawan Morgan, or Justin Smith, I think you take your chances with Justin Smith. So I think Ohio State's probably going to at least start out doing the same thing they did last time and make some of Indiana's secondary players beat them. And the first time, and really throughout the season up until these last four games, Indiana's kind of role players have really struggled to step up with any consistency. So I think that's absolutely a huge part of the game. And then the other thing with Ohio State is, we're talking about them as a bubble team right now, but I don't know that we're necessarily having that conversation if Caleb Wesson plays the last three games. I think if they win at least one or two of those games, and having him back is a big deal for them. He's just a guy that you can throw the ball down to in the post and should open up things for others on the perimeter. And another guy that I kind of wrote about and mentioned in the preview, who didn't really have a role in the first game between these two teams, but since has been really a pivotal part for Ohio State, Justin Aarons, who's a three-point shooter. I think over his last five or six games, he's something like 13 of 25 on threes. He had a game against Iowa where I think he scored 29 or 30 points, which is hard to do in a Big Ten game. Indiana's had some performances this year against shooters that have, Aaron Falzon has Northwestern rings a bell where guys have gotten hot. So I think he's a guy you got to watch, too, in the perimeter. You can't let somebody like that get going. And over the years, historically in the Big Ten tournament, there's just been some weird things that have happened to Indiana with guys getting hot from the perimeter. So anything can happen in these situations, and I would be prepared for anything to happen because it's tournament time, and that's usually how it all plays out.
Alex, do you feel like that IU's playing the best ball of their season right now, or do you think they looked better early on when they were winning early in the season?
No, I think they're playing their best right now. I mean, I've been to the last 4 or 5 games. I think I missed the Iowa road game, but then I've been to every game since then. They've looked good. I mean, the Wisconsin game, obviously it wasn't pretty, but they found a way to win. The Michigan State game, same thing. It wasn't, an overwhelming performance, but they found a way to get the job done against a really good team. And then the last two games, Illinois, I thought in terms of just a full 40 minutes, that was probably in the top 2 or 3 games they played all season. And then Rutgers, they kind of discontinued that momentum. So, yeah, I would say they're playing their best. And, the big thing that they've been doing in these last 4 or 5 games is just not turning the ball over. And I think that's really important against Ohio State because, they're one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the league at forcing turnovers. And in a game that I don't expect to be very high scoring, you don't want to give away possessions to a team that also struggles to score like Ohio State does. I mean, Indiana and Ohio State are, I think, 2 of the bottom 4 offenses in the Big Ten. So we could see another rock fight type of game today. And I think, taking care of the ball and maximizing every possession possible is going to be a big deal. I mean, it's a 2-point point spread. I think Indiana's favored by 2. And in a lot of ways, just on paper, it looks like a game that Indiana should win. But then you look at the fact that Ohio State's beaten them the last 3 times, and I think it's going to be a terrific game, terrific atmosphere, and one that may come down to the couple final possessions.
I'm really interested in seeing how Wesson realigns himself in the Ohio State lineup. Obviously, he's a very talented guy. You mentioned you feel that Ohio State may not be on the bubble had he played the last number of games instead of being out suspended. Mm-hmm. That's the type of impact we know he's had and can have on this team. But I've always thought, there's something different about tournament play, and I always think about high school stuff from my perspective, but there's something different about tournament play at any level, really, when you step out and it's a one-and-done scenario, especially for these two teams, when they're not just fighting to advance in the Big Ten tournament, but also fighting for their NCAA tournament life as well. And I think with the team maybe a little tight, I'm sure both teams tight, first game out in Chicago, a different feeling to things. It's a noon, a 12:30 tip-off. Going to be interesting to see right away if he tries to assert himself or get back into the flow of things. It's just different. I mean, I know he's been able to practice, and it's not like he's been injured and hasn't picked up a basketball and all of a sudden is cleared and is going to play in a postseason game. But I think it'll be interesting early on, especially to see how he fits in and does he maybe pick up where he left off before the suspension.
Yeah, the other thing with him is, and I don't think he had that big of a problem with it in the first game, but he's foul prone, and so if he's a guy, if you can get him into foul trouble, it just totally changes Ohio State as a team. So I'll be interested to see not only how he attacks, but how Indiana attacks him. Are they going to try to get the ball inside and draw some fouls on him early? But I would say with in terms of his conditioning and what he's been doing lately, I would say with him being suspended, he actually may be in better shape now because I'm sure he's been running and doing some extra work outside of practice, given that it's not like he was out with an injury. He was suspended, so I'm sure Chris Holtman probably not thrilled to even be in this position because Ohio State, like I said, they were at one point they were 18-10. Everyone had him as a lock, and now they've kind of moved to the bubble, and really you look at why they have, and it's Wesson. So I would think there's a lot riding on him for today for the Ohio State game because if they come out and lose this game everyone and miss the tournament, everyone's going to remember this season for them. They're going to say, this guy got suspended and he didn't play very well in the Big Ten tournament. And that's why we didn't make the tournament. So just a lot of storylines, I think, going into this one. I'm also just kind of interested to see how Romeo and Juwan kind of, lead this team. And what's, like you said, it's one and done. You either win or you go home. So it's fascinating to watch.
Alex Bozich joins us. He's in Chicago. In fact, he's getting ready to head over to the United Center. So we've got to end our conversation here any minute. I want to close our interview with this. Obviously, it's fun. Lee and I talked for just a brief moment. I'm going to get into it here in a little bit more about how fun it is to watch these mid-major conferences. But it's been different this year because IU fans, you don't really want to pull for the underdog. You want to see as many at-large bids preserved, I guess is a fair way to put it. Any storylines yesterday, anything to follow in addition to the Big Ten tournament here over the next few days as far as conferences or teams that could potentially present themselves, or a conference that has a bid thief, as you wrote earlier in the week, if they don't win the conference tournament, anything IU fans could be watching that might help the Hoosiers' cause to get an at-large, depending on what they do with their own destiny here over the next few days?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, the MAC conference, the A-10 and the Pac-12 are really, and you can really kind of look at the Pac-12 this year as a mid-major, because really, besides Washington and Arizona State, who may have a chance, outside chance of getting an at-large bid, they're only going to get, you know, probably Washington, and then if someone else wins the conference tournament. So I think, you know, if you're looking for someone to root for, you root for Buffalo, you root for VCU, and you root for Washington to win those leagues. Now, you know, is it, how realistic is it that all three of those teams are going to hold serve in the league? I don't know, especially in the Pac-12. I just look at that as a league that is really wide open in terms of what's going to happen here in the conference tournaments. But those are really the three, I think, remaining that have a chance for a bid thief. And three spots is a lot, considering right now on our bracketology, Andy Bottoms, I think, has Indiana's second-to-last team in. So there's really no margin for error. So, you know, in a lot of ways today could be an elimination game, obviously, for Indiana and Ohio State. And you just have to hope, you know, if you're an Indiana fan, those are the three scenarios. You know, Buffalo, VCU, and Washington are all able to pull things out in their conference tournaments.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us Thursdays a little earlier today and from Chicago today in advance of this IU Big Ten tournament game. Alex, enjoy Chicago. We'll see what the Hoosiers can do today and potentially moving forward in the tournament. They could have another 12:30 game on Friday if they're victorious today against Ohio State. We appreciate the chat. Always good to talk with you, and we'll have a safe ride over to the arena.
All right, have a great day, guys.
All right, Alex Bozich inside the hall with us. This is Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly, coming your way with a special edition of the Hoosier Report. We're here each weekday at 11 a.m. with complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. But we're doing things a little early today. I'm going to bow out here in another 20 minutes or so and head over to Hoopsters to get things ready to go. Lee will join me shortly after 11 o'clock. But again, we'll be at Hoopsters today from 11 to 11:30. And then following that, obviously, the IU game at noon, or excuse me, I keep saying at noon, at 12:30 today. And Hoopsters is the place to be for IU games. Lee, I think you've been before. I know you and I've done a number of shows from Hoopsters, but it is just a terrific environment for sports, especially local sports and IU. And lots of TVs going today, a great atmosphere, and just a terrific menu of fresh food and great beverages as well. So we look forward to an extended show today, getting started a little early. I look forward to that 12:30 tip-off to watch the Hoosiers against Ohio State. If you can make it at 11, we'd love to have you down at Hoopsters. If you can't make it at 11, we'd love to have you at the tip-off of the game. If you're on maybe a tight schedule because of work and can only get away for an hour or something, make sure Hoopsters is your place to stop today for IU basketball. Will be a fun day, a fun environment. And it's odd to say this, but I've got a good feeling about IU's chances today. I mean, it could be completely wrong, but this team is playing really good. And I feel like they've got a really good chance against Ohio State. Caleb Wesson back or not?
Yeah, I agree with you. Indiana's fun to watch again, and they have been the last few games. Watching that game on Sunday, it was just, a very good performance. Perfect? No, not a perfect performance, but a very good performance. And reading Greg Doyle's column about they like each other, I thought that was very accurate the way that I've looked at part of that season. So hopefully IU pulls one out today and keeps it rolling and takes some of the pressure off the people that make the decisions on Sunday and get IU into that tournament.
Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison here with a special edition, an early edition of the Hoosier Report. We'll be with you until 11:30. 11:30, that's when IU Network pregame takes over. And that's important because you get an interview with Don Fisher and Archie Miller in that 11:30 slot to find out any of the latest with this team. I guess that was really big when Indiana had so many injuries. Often you found out the status for some of the players in that interview. Of course, now Indiana, knock on wood, is somewhat healthier, is very healthy compared to what they've been this season and really in recent seasons. And that, I think, has been a big part of this IU turnaround as well. But so we'll take it to 11:30, and then we'll send it to Don Fisher and the IU Network at that point. Lee, I know we've got IU heavy today. We're going to preview the Ohio State side of things a little bit later in the program with Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts. That's the Ohio State 247 website. He does a good job, and he's got the latest on the Caleb Wesson situation and this Ohio State team. But I know you and I want to talk a couple minutes of high school basketball because you are a proud graduate of Silver Creek High School. Of course, a lot of people associate you with New Albany only because of years and years of being the general manager in charge of WNAS, the student-ran radio television station at the school. But that's your alma mater at Silver Creek, and they are playing some good basketball. And to go to that Seymour Simi State, you've had a chance to do that a few times recently with New Albany, so you know the fun about that and what that environment is like. And now you get to see it again this year, just a different team in there from our area. Silver Creek's the last one alive with hopes to get to that state championship game following a week from this coming Saturday.
Yeah, and have never won a semi-state. So it's something very special. They've had some opportunities. Sometimes when opportunity is knocked, when you open the door, there stood Steve Downing and George McGinnis in 69. That was the team they drew in the semi-state. Didn't end well for Silver Creek. Didn't end well for many teams that year against those two. So Silver Creek people are excited. I certainly wish them the best. It's a good group of people. And I'm talking and interviewing and dealing with people who are children and grandchildren of people that I knew from my days at Silver Creek. So a little different, but still a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, reading about this matchup, and we're going to find out a lot more tonight in a special show from 7 to 8 p.m. at Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg from Coach Hoffman. I know he's been hard at work practicing, putting in a game plan on how to go against this fast-paced at times Chris Bosatic's team from Indianapolis. But we'll learn a lot more about that team tonight. But the more I read, the more I think that we're in for a really, really good game with two really good teams that can score the basketball. Both teams have some really key players that have stepped up in this tournament. Harold Bennett is a big name from Attucks, and, of course, really for Silver Creek, you start with Zane Gross because he's a senior, but there's about four or five different players that could have been listed as player of the game at some point in this state tournament play, much like how things went during the regular season for Silver Creek. So with that said, it's teams loaded with talent. It's teams that I think will score and be exciting. It will be interesting to see the actual pace of the game. I mean, when Attucks came down to Jeffersonville back in December, I think they scored, was it 90 or 92 points?
It was 96-93, 96. If I remember right.
Amazing.
I may be wrong, but I think that's right.
We'll have to see how that goes. But in addition to that, I want to spend a moment talking about the Seymour Simi State as a whole. Everyone has said, oh, you'll never see a crowd like it was last year, and probably so. I mean, I saw Kirk Manns, the Seymour athletic director, over the weekend, and he was saying that is by far the Simi State crowd a year ago at Seymour, the biggest crowd, the most craziest environment we've ever had. Everybody was on pins and needles with how many people were in the gym that day, and there was a lot of lack of tickets, really. A lot of other people would have liked to be in that game. But I think the good news is, while it may not be overflowing like it was a year ago, it sounds like it might be really, 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 really crowded, or possibly even nearing a sellout, as crazy as that sounds, because the 2A game, both of those schools in Shenandoah, who is, I guess, maybe to the east and maybe just a little north of Richmond, I don't know if I could place them on a map exactly, but I understand they just have a great fan base, and they've been one of the traditional programs over the years in high school basketball that's done really well, and of course class basketball has been good to them. But I understand they bring a really big crowd, and then of course Linton Stockton I saw firsthand at Paoli. They've got a big crowd as well, so it'll be interesting. I know Silver Creek's going to have a big crowd. I think the key here maybe to getting a super crowd, maybe a sellout type environment there, is what addicts bring. Sometimes the Indianapolis schools don't always support things like you think they might. Warren Central did a year ago against New Albany. They brought a tremendous crowd. But some of the Indianapolis schools don't support it in the way of coming out with the students and the fans like you might expect. But from what I'm gathering, it's going to be some really good fan bases there on Saturday. So I'm looking forward not only to that Silver Creek game, but we're going to get there early and make sure we take in that 2A game as well. Sima State Day is just, it's another great day of basketball. It's not as long as Regional Saturday, which in some ways is probably a good thing, but some really, really good matchups across the state at all the different locations for Sima State's going to be really interesting to see what happens specifically at Seymour.
Yeah, and those semi-state games, there have been certain years where after the first game was over, the nets were cut down, presentations were made, fan base left. Last year, that early game, those people, for the most part, all stayed. And so the gym didn't get much lighter after that first game was over. I'm anxious to see if that holds true this year as well.
Absolutely. And again, we will have that game live on the radio as well. What is the expected tip time of that contest? 3 o'clock is what, and I can tell you it won't start at 3. It'll definitely be after 3. But again, if you're going and you're there for Silver Creek, go ahead and get there for that 1 o'clock game between Linton and Shenandoah. It'll be a good one as well. You can get your seat and be part of a great crowd for that first game as well. Good luck to the Dragons, and we're going to talk. I'm excited tonight. I know it's going to be a long day for you and I, Lee, but I'm excited tonight to be at Sordano's. We invite everybody to come out, just as we do Hoopsters here at 11 o'clock. We invite everybody to come out tonight. Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Great pizza. It's that small square pizza. Delicious. Can't wait to have some later tonight when we get done with the show. And we'll have the entire team there. We're going to talk with all the names that you hear us read and talk about on a regular basis, and we're going to have the entire roster. And, of course, we're going to have Coach Hoffman as well. And really fun. We've had an opportunity to have entire teams in the middle of tournament runs or even after big tournament success, and it's probably one of the favorite things. You never quite know how talkative the kids are going to be or what exactly they're going to say, but it's a great way to learn a little bit about more than what we initially know about some of these kids than just what's going on the basketball floor. So it will be fun tonight. We expect it to be pretty crowded at Sordano's. It's not a big place, so if you'd like to order some pizza and join us for that live show, you'll be able to listen in the restaurant. You might get there a little before 7 o'clock, but we're going to come on live tonight at 7 with the entire Silver Creek basketball team. We'll be on until 8 o'clock. We know a lot of the parents are coming. All the team is coming. Some of the fans and coaching staff coming. It's going to be fun. We hope that you'll join us as well. Maybe, it's, you know, stop in. Even if you're not a Creeker, per se, stop in and have dinner and wish this team well. It means a lot to those kids to know that people, not just in their community, but in Southern Indiana, support them as well. So it'll be fun tonight. And we're going to be taking your questions tonight as well, whether you're on site or whether you're on social media. You're going to be able to tweet some questions in to Lee and I, and we'll pass those along to the players. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Have you noticed that when we do shows like this, they always involve a restaurant? Have you noticed that trend?
Yes, I have.
I think it's a great idea. I just want to commend you on that.
Hoopsters and Sordano's in the same day. Two great places. I just wonder if I've got room for both of them.
I've been on a diet for a week. I have a feeling it's going to suffer big time today.
Yes, I understand. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts.com. It's the 247 site for Ohio State Athletics. He does a great job covering the men's basketball program. And in advance of this IU-Ohio State Big Ten matchup, he's going to give us the very latest on the Caleb Wesson situation, take a look at some of the potential matchups in the game, and a lot more coming up next. And then, of course, at 11 o'clock, we'll be live at Hoopsters. And we've got some special things to do while we're there. We're going to talk with some fans. So if you want to get on the radio and talk some IU basketball in the 11 o'clock hour and give us your opinion, your thoughts on this IU team, Hoopsters is the place for you to be at. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Steve Hellwagon of 247 Sports. We'll talk about the Ohio State side of today's matchup and a lot more as we have this extended and early edition of the Hoosier Report underway right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this final segment in the 10 o'clock hour. Again, we're early today with the IU-Ohio State game beginning at 12:30 Eastern. That means pregame coverage from the IU network begins at 11:30 Eastern, and we're going to be here with you until 11:30. I'll be leaving soon to head to Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'd love to have you join us from 11 to 11:30 to get things kicked off for the IU game today. But until then, we're going to be previewing this big game for IU and really for Ohio State as well with Steve Hellwagon. He's the editor of Bucknuts.com, which is the Ohio State website on the 247 network, and a great resource to have from time to time to talk about this Ohio State basketball program. Steve, first off, thanks for the time to chat with you on, I know, what's a very busy day for you and your staff. And as we look at this Ohio State team coming into today's game in the Big Ten tournament against Indiana, they're on a three-game losing streak, but I really don't think that that's, you know, as accurate of a look of what really this Ohio State team is, because you lost those three games, did Ohio State, without star Caleb Wesson, who is back today.
Yeah, that's a good point. The three losses coincided with Wesson's suspension for a violation of athletic department policy. It's never been named exactly what he did, but coincided with basically 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks of competition. He has missed, and unfortunate. I mean, they got blown out, obviously, at Purdue. They were probably going to lose that game one way or the other. Purdue's one of the hottest teams in college basketball, you know, down the stretch. And so that wasn't a surprise. To lose at Northwestern, the last place team, that was not good, obviously. And that's a loss that puts Ohio State back, you know, squarely on this NCAA bubble. And then to come home on Sunday and play Wisconsin, they fell behind by 23 points in the second half, and somehow in the last 7 minutes came back from down 22 and were able to force overtime, but they had spent all of their energy to get the game to overtime, and Wisconsin kind of cleaned up the spoils in the overtime and won that game 73-67. So it's unfortunate for Ohio State. I mean, before Wesson went out, they had beaten a ranked Iowa team at home 90-70 and had played probably one of their very best games of the entire season in doing that. And it seemed like they were ready to make a late season run. But obviously, him not being there, averaging 14 points, 7 rebounds a game, team leader in both categories, that was a devastating blow for them. And they didn't play particularly well in those first two games. And really, for 33 minutes, they didn't play particularly well against Wisconsin either, but put themselves in a chance to steal it at the end.
Talking with Steve Hellwagon, he's the editor of the Ohio State site on 247 Sports. It's Bucknuts.com. Steve, you know, we've talked a lot this week and really for the last couple weeks about Indiana's NCAA tournament chances and what exactly does Indiana need to do and how many wins is it going to take. And now that the conference tournament brackets have been set, what does Indiana still need to accomplish in Chicago to make the big dance a reality despite a dismal 2019 portion of the schedule, including a 7-game losing streak? I guess the flip side of that is very similar situation for Ohio State. These last three losses without Wesson have really dampened the NCAA resume. And just as Indiana needs a win today to get in or get a step closer to getting in, some people say, similar for Ohio State, almost all an identical situation, just in reverse.
Yeah, you look at some of the leading bracketologists, Jerry Palm, Joe Lunardi, and generally they have Ohio State on their bracket, perhaps as one of the last four in, and then Indiana one of the first four out, or vice versa. And basically that makes this a play-in game, I would think, for the NCAA tournament. And I think that that adds more stakes to a Big Ten tournament game than a lot of them that we've seen over the years, that both teams are in this predicament. It's a testament, I think, to how great the Big Ten was this year on the whole that they've put themselves in this position to get eight teams into the Big Ten, or into the NCAA tournament. You know, you think about it over the years, it's very rare that a Big Ten team with a losing conference record would make the NCAA tournament. But Minnesota, if they win today, would get in probably at 9-11. And as we said, the winner of the Ohio State-Indiana game should get in at 8-12. So that's kind of fascinating in and of itself, I suppose. But, you know, I guess, again, Ohio State was 10-1 in the non-conference and had done some really good things. The one loss was to Syracuse, which is probably going to be an NCAA tournament team. They beat UCLA, which is kind of fighting for its life out in the Pac-12 right now. The one shining victory was at Cincinnati to open the season. Cincinnati's ended up winning, I think, 24 or 25 games this year and kind of sucked Ohio State along with it all season long. And, of course, at Creighton, which looks like it'll be one of the first four out right now if all things are considered equal. So, you know, there was some quality there early in the season, but, you know, Ohio State's never gotten an at-large berth with a losing streak of five games in a row. And if they get one this year, that's what they had in early January, was a five-game losing streak.
Yeah, as you look at this game today, as fans sitting at home watching on TV, what keys should we watch for? Is there anything in particular, the Wesson coming back after being out for three games, or anything else that you could kind of pinpoint that might give us a tip-off to how the game's going to unfold?
Yeah, in the last 2 years, Ohio State's 3-0 against Indiana, but, you know, two of those were virtual draws, the games that were played in Bloomington. I think C.J. Jackson hit the shot, and they won in double overtime there last year, and Ohio State pulled off the win there this year. They threw the lob into Andre Wesson for the dunk with about 20 seconds left, kind of a nifty little play. You know, you look at it, and I just think that you have to kind of take those two games and kind of toss them aside and say, you know, what's going to make the factor in this game? And I think Ohio State's going to get the ball inside to Wesson and see if he can come back from that 2 week break and be a strong participant in this game. And then from there, I just think you have to look at it and say C.J. Jackson, the heroic things he's done over the years. Against Indiana, is he going to have a big game? Ohio State, both these teams are very good defensively, however, and Ohio State certainly is going to put the clamps on Langford for sure.
Steve Hellwagon, 247 Sports, Ohio State site, bucknuts.com is with us. We're previewing IU Ohio State, 12:30 tip-off today, 11:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. What about some matchups maybe? Jawan Morgan obviously has been the senior leader all season long for the Hoosiers. Down the stretch, he's really been good for this IU team. And, of course, Romeo Langford is the other big name that really from start to finish has been a scoring leader for this team. Who can we expect from the Ohio State team maybe to guard those two scoring stars for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, I think, you know, Morgan was kind of had a disappearing act, I think, in that game Ohio State played at Bloomington. He did not I think he had kind of a poor shooting day and just didn't get a lot accomplished. So I think for them, you know, the comment I made when Ohio State played there was that Indiana was not a team that I would want to face in March. I was of a belief that Indiana would put things together eventually. With such a young team and the injuries that they had, if they could ever get everybody healthy and on the same page, I was of a belief that they had the pieces, that they were going to be a formidable team to play. And that's kind of been borne out with the wins that they had down the stretch. Wisconsin, the overtime game, Michigan State, Rutgers on Sunday. I mean, they've performed pretty well here down the stretch. And those pieces have come together for Coach Archie Miller. I know he's taken a lot of flack, but again, when you have youth and you have injuries, it takes time to build a team. So I think that that is finally what's taken hold at Indiana, and I think that Ohio State, I mean, one way or the other, a quality team's going to emerge from this game, and a pretty good team's probably going to lose this game and go off to the NIT. So that's probably the scenario that we're looking at today. And, you know, I can't I'm predicting Ohio State to win 64-62, but nothing would surprise me with this game. I think either team is capable of winning probably a low-scoring game, probably up to 10 points on either side. Just who is hitting their shots on a given day? That's Ohio State. The last two games was 0-13 to start the game at Northwestern and lost that game, and 0-11 to start the game against Wisconsin and built that huge deficit and ultimately lost that game. So are the Buckeyes going to start this game with a made field goal? What a unique idea that would be.
Absolutely. Steve Hellwagon, our guest, Bucknuts.com, talking about today's game from an Ohio State perspective. I want to ask you, from your perspective of things, are you surprised that Ohio State is where they are in the seeding for the Big Ten tournament? Are you surprised that it comes down to a game like this today? Did you think that Ohio State would already have an at-large bid locked up heading into the Big Ten tournament? And maybe they would have still had Wesson not been suspended and not had three losses in a row to close the Big Ten regular season. But any surprise on where this Ohio State team, I guess the position that this team finds itself in today, very similar to Indiana, are you surprised of the position they're in?
Yeah, very surprised. I think that hit everybody like a ton of bricks 2 weeks ago when he was suspended. And you have to figure, they beat Northwestern pretty handily at home when they played them. And Derek Pardon, they didn't have anybody that could guard the rim against him, and he had a double-double in that game. And it was a close game until about 4 minutes to go, and then Northwestern pulled away at the end. I think that's a game that haunts Ohio State. Had they won that game on the road, their resume would look a lot better, even though that's a last-place team. It's still a top 100 team in the net. So I think that one means a lot, and certainly they were would have had a much better shot at Wisconsin. So I had them pegged as the seventh seed all along, and, you know, that just did not come to fruition because of those late losses. So in some ways, at full strength with Wesson, they're underseeded. They should be higher. They should be a seven or maybe even a six, and now they're down here as the eight playing the nine, and that's a little bit unfair, I think, to Indiana. But, you know, the odds makers are looking at it, and it's called Indiana, I think, a two-point favorite. And, you know, I think at full strength, it's essentially a toss-up. So, as I said, it's going to come down, you know, who can hit the clutch three, who's going to hit the clutch shot in traffic, who's going to make the play late in the game to pull this one out. And, you know, I think we're in for one heck of a game today, one way or the other. And two teams that should be desperate. And we're going to find out who really wants it at this point in the we're 4.5 months into this thing, and we're going to find out who really wants it at this point.
Yeah, as I've watched games this season, especially late this season, the officiating at times has been very close. They've called a lot of really ticky-tack fouls, and other games, they've let them beat the snot out of each other up and down the floor. So today,
yes,
that could be a key, I think, especially if you've got Morgan guarding Wesson. One of them gets in foul trouble, that could be a real, real problem for one of these teams.
Yeah, you make a great point. And Wesson has been plagued by foul trouble really in his 2 years at Ohio State. When they keep him on the floor, you know, his production per minute is very good, but he usually only plays about 25 minutes a game. If he can get up close to 30 minutes a game, then that makes it very difficult for teams to contend with him. So I'm interested to see, again, as you say, if Indiana goes right at him and tries to attack him. And also for him on the offensive end, you know, we saw Mark Loving a couple of years ago went through the same thing, had a two-week suspension in midseason, and he was nowhere near as good when he came back. I don't know. You know, Wes has been practicing with the team, but psychologically, you know, does this put a damper on his season that, you know, I let the guys down? Is he going to press and try and do too much? I don't know, but he's going to be one guy to watch in this game offensively and defensively if he can make an impact.
Yeah, I think one of the things I want to watch for as I watch Indiana today, this will be the first Big Ten tournament game for a lot of the people on that IU roster that they count on game in and game out. Will it have any effect? Will it just be another game, or will the atmosphere and the pressure of one and done get to some of the IU younger kids?
yeah, you make a good point. You think about Ohio State's got some freshmen that they're counting on now as well. Justin Arnes, who had a big game a couple weeks ago, 29 points against Iowa. I think he's a guy that that they'll be looking at. Luther Muhammad has really struggled down the stretch shooting the ball. Dwayne Washington is kind of an offensive player at guard for the Buckeyes. And so I just look at it and I say that, it kind of cuts both ways. There'll be freshmen on both sides of this game that this is their first time in this environment. And Ohio State, to their credit, this will be the third time they've been to the United Center. They played Illinois there, and they played UCLA there in the CBS Sports Classic. So I'm interested to see, and they won both those games, if they can carry some of that over.
Should be a good game. Hope people are able to catch it this afternoon. And one of the teams going to be pretty doggone happy moving into the next round. One fear, if I were a coach, and I would have a losing record if I was, but if I were a coach, I would worry about winning today and the kids just thinking it was all over and done with and not really being focused on playing again tomorrow.
Well, that's a good point. And Michigan State obviously is operating without their Langford and Nick Ward also, although, I'm not sure if he's coming back from that hand situation or not. And I think that, you look at it, Michigan State is down the stretch, won games and found ways to win games and ended up as the co-champion in the conference. So, I guess it'll be a tough test. I mean, and obviously that you have to look at that as an opportunity, because if you get into that game and you win that game, you are certainly in the NCAA tournament with a win over a top 10 team on a neutral floor. So that's how you have to approach this. And, Michigan has laid the groundwork. Last 2 years, they've won four games in 4 days, done it the hard way to win the tournament 2 years in a row. Iowa, a few years ago, was the only other team that's done that in Big Ten tournament history. So it'll be, if somebody can pull off that feat a third year in a row, that'd really be something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Looking for a great tournament and some great games. Just in the games I've watched already from different conferences, teams I haven't watched all year, there have been some outstanding games. Hopefully that will continue today.
Yeah, the thing that I see in the games I've been watching is one team may jump out on the other, but there is always a run. In a 40-minute tournament game, the other team always makes a run. So you cannot just assume that the team is going to roll on to an easy victory in a lot of these tournament games. These teams are going to play with their season on the line. They're going to play the full 40 minutes. So just we'll have to see how it all plays out today.
My favorite time of the year. It's just always exciting. You never know what's going to happen. Steve, thank you very much for joining us today. Good luck. Enjoy the tournament. And hopefully somewhere down the road we'll talk to you again.
All right. Take care.
Steve Hellwagon of BuckNuts.com, part of the 247 Sports, covering the Ohio State Buckeyes. Glad he was able to join us this morning. Provided a lot of insight on that game coming up. We're going to be joining Matt Dennison over at Hoopsters. That'll be coming up here in just a few moments. We'll be talking as we get ready to watch IU. The pregame show will start at 11:30. Don Fisher will have Archie on in the pregame show, and we'll be able to catch all of that right here. And then IU, Ohio State, playing for their basketball lives as they get ready to hopefully play in the big show coming up starting very shortly here. The Selection Sunday going to be fun, we hope. Let's take a quick look at high school basketball here as we wait to join Matt over at Hoopsters and, of course, the Silver Creek Dragons. In the semi-state, they will face Indianapolis Attic. Silver Creek, 23-3 on the year. They knocked off Evansville Memorial and Princeton last Saturday in the regional down at Huntingburg, and they will face Attic. That will be a 3 p.m. game at Seymour this Saturday, and Let's take a look. The preceding game will be a 1 p.m. game. That'll be Shenandoah. This is in 2A. Shenandoah, 26-1 on the year, and they will be meeting Lenton Stockton, 26-3. That's a 1 p.m. game, also at Seymour. And let's see. Let's take a look at some of the other games. While we're at it here, we have just a moment. Let's go to the 4A games at Washington in the South semi-state. Ben Davis, 19-7, meets Center Grove, 21-8. And in the North, 4A Penn, 24-3, meets Carmel at 24-1. And in 2A, we gave you the South game, the North game. Andrean, 19-8, meets Frankton, 25-3. In the 1A, it is Bloomfield and Barrieve in the South at Washington. And in the North, Fort Wayne Blackhawk, 26-2, Lafayette Central Catholic, 24-4. So that's going to wrap it up for us for the Hoosier Report this segment. Now stay tuned. Matt Dennison is going to be live from Hoopsters. I'll be joining him shortly, and we'll have more information about IU Ohio State. The pregame show with Don Fisher comes up at 11:30 today here on the Big X, and then the game will tip off at 12:30 out of Chicago. So Saturday, we've got high school basketball for you. We'll be on the air around 3 o'clock with the pregame show as Silver Creek and the Indianapolis Attics get together. Going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, depending on IU today, they could very easily be back on the air again tomorrow. We'll have to sort it all out as the tournament plays itself out in the Big Ten tournament. Thank you for joining us for this segment of the Hoosier Report. Stay tuned for Matt Dennison live at Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. You still have time to join him for that show. We'll be back in just a few moments with Matt. Thanks for joining us so far, and have a great day.